Good morning. The wonderful mix of lack of sleep and a lot of other things going on should make for a very entertaining daf today, I am sure. I'm not sure it was so entertaining the first time around, but hopefully everybody on YU Torah will still be listening after this opening comment. Anyways, the Gemara on Lamed Amud Aleph, we're up to the first two dots on the page, about ten lines down or so, references back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah, just to quickly remind ourselves, was talking about the rules of selling a field for B'mispar Shnei Tevuos. So we talked about what would be the case if we assume that a person needs to have a minimum of 2 years that they possess the field after it is sold to them, and only then can it be redeemed back by the original seller. Within those years, what counts as a year of produce was a question in the Mishnah. So if it was a year of Shidafon, year Akon, different agricultural issues that the field won't produce crops properly, or was a Shemitah year, that didn't count. However, if that year was used for plowing, or that year was used to let the land lie fallow, in those cases, it was considered a year, and after one more produce year, then the land could be repurchased. So, says the Gemara, Haisa Shana Shidafon v'chulei. Says the Gemara, Hashta Hovira Olalo, Nira Mibayale. Says the Gemara, focusing on the case of letting the land lie fallow, or plowing it. So, says the Gemara, if the Mishnah would have just told me the land would lie fallow, would I really not realize that if you plowed it, that it also counted as a year? Obviously, if you're doing nothing and it counts as a year, then if you plow it, it should be counted as a year. So what's going on? Says the Gemara, Nira itzrichle, we need the case of Nir. Sakadat Chamin, I would have thought, Amrinan le, havle dame havelesa, kamash malan. One might have thought, says the Gemara, that the buyer who improved the land might say, listen, you should give me some money from the fact that I spent one of my years improving your land. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah comes to tell us, no. Hovira and Nira are both just regular wasted years. You don't have the right to demand money for the work you put in from the other person. It's just, so long as it's considered a year of Tevua, it counts towards your calculation. Okay, and therefore, we need to say Nira, not because it's not obvious from the case of Avira, it would be, but because the fact that you can't demand payment is not so obvious, therefore this comes to teach us that you can't ask for payment just because you put improvements into the person's field. Okay, next set, which is Rabbi Eliezer. Now, I want to go back to something that we talked about yesterday, and I'm sure I'm not the only person to do this, but the way we made the Pasuk sound, the Pasuk says, okay, b'mispar shenei tivuos yim karlach. We darshened it yesterday to talk about two tivuos, okay, rather than using the word shnei to refer to years, which is what it means in pshat in the pasuk. Certainly, if you're reading the pasuk, it's the number of years after Yovel, you should buy it back according to the number of years, right? That's how it should be sold. So certainly that's the pshat of the pasuk. We darshened it, say shnei tivuos two. But really, we could have easily just have darshaned that from the word tivuos, which is plural. But anyways, the key is that it's referring to the number of years in which you have two produce, sort of two productive years. So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Machrolo, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that said, if you sold it before Rosh Hashanah and there were fruits in the field, you can actually keep it for two full years and end up having three, harvests. Okay? Says the Gemara. Tanya, and now we're basically going to repeat this in a brighter. Rabbi Lezer, Omrim Naichim, Rachel, Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, Mlea Peros, Shalom Yomer, Lohanach, Lifanai Gedar, Shinach, Lifanecha, says Rabbi Lezer. How do we know that if the person sold it before Rosh Hashanah full of fruit, he doesn't have the ability to say, I would like it returned to me the same way that I gave it to you? Talmud Lomar, because the Pasuk tells us, B'mispar Shnei Tivuos, Yim Karlach, Pamishadam Mochel, Shalosh Tivuos, B'shteish Shanim. But the fact that it says it's the number of years of Tivuos means it follows the number of years and not the actual number of harvests. So even though there were more than two harvests, in this two-year cycle, it doesn't matter. That's considered Mispar Shnei Tivuos, and you don't have the right to demand that it is returned in the same fashion that it was sold originally. Okay, so Adkan, this is sort of finishing up the last couple of details from our previous Mishnah. Now we get on to what, it seems to be actually quite confusing. So, here we go. The next Mishnah tells us of the following case. Machra l'rishon b'mana. Okay, if I sold it, and, Reuven sells a field to Shimon for $100. And Shimon sells it to Levi for $200. Good businessman, Shimon. Okay? Eino mechashev ela im harishon. So now it comes time for the person, the original seller, Reuven, wants to come redeem the field. Now he has to go to Levi because Levi owns the field. That's just the reality. The question is, what price does he redeem the field at, right? Because the field is sold at a rate, you know, the number of years remaining till Yovel divided into the cost paid for the field. So if you paid, you know, $100 for 10 years remaining till Yovel, so then it's $10 a year, right? And you'd take that away. So if it was with him for 2 years, you'd pay $80 that were remaining for the 8 years that were left, whatever it is. So the question is, are we going to use the 200 value? Or are we going to use the 100 value? On the one hand, when he originally sold it, he sold it for 100. On the other hand, the person who has it now, you know, paid 200 for it. So which value will we use, says the Mishnah? Eino mechashiv elaim harishon. We use the original value that he paid, meaning the 100 maneh, or the $100. Shenemar asher macharlo, because if you look in the pasuk says, the one whom he sold it to, meaning this person who's coming to be Goelit, he sold it to the first person, meaning Reuven sold it to Shimon, and therefore he uses that, you know, amount of money in the transaction that when he's buying it back. Now, what say you have the flip side case? Machar l'rishon b'masayim. Here, Reuven sells it to Shimon for 200. Umachar l'rishon l'sheni b'maneh. And Reuven is a bad businessman. He sells it for $100 to Shimon. So what happens now? Do we follow the same ruling to say it depends on what you sold it for originally? Or will we say, no, in this case, we're going to go with the lower amount? Says the Mishnah, Eino mechashev elaim ha'achron. In this case, when you go to redeem it, you only can redeem it for the price that the second person paid, meaning the 100, the lower price. Shenemar v'chishaves shenem yukarov v'shives ha'odef la'ish. And even though the pasuk continues, asher machar lo, the Gemara darshins from here, la'ish asher b'socho. You have to return, okay, you have to return the extra to the man, meaning the man who's currently in the field, meaning we use the amount of money that he paid in this case. What's clear from the Mishnah, and I say this in the most respectful of ways, I'm not saying this to not a stira. I'm saying this in the most respectful ways to the Mishnah. It's not a stira at all. The Mishnah is clearly saying that in each case, what's going to be our criteria?
The lower one.
It has to be the lower one. The Mishnah is not a stira. The Mishnah is always saying we use the lower one, but it does seem like, at this point, the Mishnah has a bit of an agenda. Right? These psukim are not very clear as to what we should follow in each of these cases. The drashas of the Gemara are like, really, you know, threading a needle here to say in these ways that, you know, we're skipping out this part of the pasuk so we can darshan it this way, and we're emphasizing this part of the pasuk here. We could just have easily have reversed it in terms of the drashos. And the Gemara will, in fact, address this and say, why is it that we want to go lekula for the person who's redeeming his field? But just to know, don't think that like, oh gosh, I'm missing something. There's this really obvious drasha here that means this. That's the way Chazal used the drashas based on the reasons that they had for being makel in these circumstances. Okay, I think that's just something important to point out here. Again, in a you know, an appropriate way. Now, lo yimkar berachok, v'igayel bekarov. Beigel Bekarov says, okay, now we're going to give some rules. When it comes to redeeming fields from someone who you sold them to, there are a lot of rules as to what you're allowed and not allowed to do. Again, the Gemara will go into details as to where we get them, where we get these from, as well as the last case. The Gemara is, you know, going to expand on everything at length, as you'll see if you take a look at the next Amud. But the rule is, number one, you cannot sell a field that you have further away in order to redeem a field that you have closer, right? Another case, you can't sell a bad field in order to have enough money to be able to redeem a good field. You can't borrow money to buy back your fields. You can't buy back your fields in portions. All of these are applicable to sale. Okay. However, says the Mishnah, uvehektish, right? Uvehektish muter bekulan. However, when it comes to hektish, when you're maktish your field and you want to be put in those cases, none of these rules apply. Okay. Meaning, you're allowed to borrow money in order to redeem it. You're allowed to sell this one in order to redeem that one. You're allowed to redeem it partially because we want you to do that with hektish. And says the Mishnah, Zechomer v'adjud mi behektish. This is where an individual is more, you know, more of a chomra than hektish in this regard. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Again, we have the first person for 100, second person for 200, first person for 200, second person for 100, where we always use the least. And that is what the Gemara is going to go into great detail on right now. Any questions, by the way, on the Mishnah before we go further? Okay. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learn a Braisa. Machra l'rishon b'mano, machra rishon l'sheni b'masayim, minayin she'inu machashev elam rishon, tamud lomar, asher machar lo. This Braisa opens with the opinion of Rebbe, as we're going to see, which is exactly echoing our Mishnah, that if you sold to the first guy for 100 and he sold it then for 200, how do we know that we follow the first guy's sale, meaning the sale to the first guy of 100, and that's the cost? Because it says asher machar lo. Machra l'rishon b'masayim, machra rishon l'sheni b'mana. And again, if you flip that case, then first it was sold for 200, and then second it was sold for 100. How do we know we again only followed the second sale? Tamud lamar, la'ish asher b'socho. Again, it's our drasha on the word la'ish. Divrei Rebbe, this is the opinion of Rebbe. Now Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda Omer, he says, machra lo b'mana v'hishbicha v'amda al masayim. So he has a slightly different case. He says, I sold the field to someone for $100. And then they discovered a gold mine, or they drilled and they found oil. Now the field is worth so much more. Okay? And by the way, this has to be that it just happened to be this way. It's not that they put in effort and therefore made the field worth more, because then we'd have to account for that. Meaning if I took, you know, $500 and invested it in my field, and now my field is worth more, this ruling that the Gemara is about to say will not apply, because there I put in money towards it. Okay? We're only talking about where the field just happened to get better. It was good climate that year. I don't know, maybe global warming. The point is that the field improved on its own. Okay, and that's noted by Rashi. So he says, what happens in that case? And now it's worth 200. So again, originally I sold it for 100. Now it became worth 200. What happens? Minayin v'chashiv ela b'mana, says Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda. How do we know that we only follow the original price of 100? Shenemar v'heshivas ha'odef. He darshens the pasuk v'heshivas ha'odef, that you have to return what is left, ha'odef shebiado, the remainder of what you took at the original price of the field, meaning the money. That's what odef means. Now, what about the flip case? Machra lo b'masayim v'hichsifa. Let's say you sold them for 200 and the field dried up and, you know, got way worse. V'amda al mana, now it's worth just 100. Minayin v'chashven ela b'mana. How do we know that, again, we used the lower estimate, the second price? Shenemar, he takes the exact same pasuk as we said before, Veshivas Haodev, Haodev Shebekarka. You return the remainder of what's left of the land. Meaning, the drasha is saying, we don't follow the original price here, but rather whatever the land is worth for this next X number of years until Yovel, that's what you pay when you return it. Meaning, in every single case, we're going to be taking, again, the lower estimate. And again, a drasha like this begs, is why are we darshaning in such a strange way? We're literally using the same pasuk. One time we're saying like this, one time we're saying like that. Based on what? And that's where the Gemara goes now. After a quick nafkamina, that is, says the Gemara, my beinaihu. Okay, what will be the difference between their cases? Now here we get a bit of a bizarre case, but this is going to be a nafkamina between the two cases, between Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda ben Dusta and Rebbe Dustai ben Yehuda. Tongue twister there. Says the Gemara, what's the case that would be a nafkamina between them? De aikur vizal v'aikur. So what happens was, as Rashi explains, originally, the field is worth 200. So the original sale from Reuven to Shimon is for 200. Now, in Shimon's hand, it now became cheaper. So he sold it, okay, to the next person for 100. So Reuven sells to Shimon for 200. Shimon sells to Levi for 100. And now in Levi's hands, it becomes worth 200 again. Okay, it's a very volatile field, right? The stocks are jumping up and down. So anyways, there was a point in the middle. At the time of the second sale, how much was it worth? 100. But both at the beginning and at the end, the field is in actuality worth 200. Right? 200 at the beginning when he sold it, and now it went back up to 200. So, according to Rebbe, what's the halacha? It depends on the second sale in this case. Because for Rebbe, it's a question of first sale or second sale. Whichever one is cheaper, we're going to follow that estimate. So in terms of the redemption, the person will follow the second sale, namely he'll pay 100. However, according to Rav Dustai ben Yehuda, he says it all depends either on the original cost or on the final evaluation of the field. Right? When we were darshan of Yeshivas HaOdef, it's either the Odef on the original price or it's the Odef al Hakarka. In that case, both of those situations, the field was worth 200, both when it started and when it ended. So he would hold that you have to evaluate based on the 200 in this case. Okay, again, a bit of a weird case where, again, sold it for 200, then sold it for 100, then went back up and cost to 200, but that would be the difference between these two shittos. Any questions before we move on to the fun part? No.
Okay.
Really, it's just an excuse for me to drink, I guess. I have a bit of a sore throat today. I apologize. So, says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara the question that's been bothering us. Umimai de la kula. Why is it that we're always being so lenient in terms of this redemption, that we're giving the person the lower price when it comes to redeeming it? Delmal chumra. You know? Why don't we follow a more machmir position and say, maybe you should always have to pay 200? Right? Why is it that we're choosing, again, to apply the logic in this fashion? Says the Gemara, lo salka daidach. You would never think that you should do it l'chumra. Why? Degamar ge'ula, ge'ula me'eved ivri. Because it follows the model of an eved ivri, which we learn out from a drasha of ge'ula, ge'ula. Ve'hasa minalan, and there, you know, how do we know that the halacha is that we're going to go l'kula? Detanya, as we learned in a braisa. Nimkar b'mane. If it was sold, if the Eved was sold for 100, v'hishpiach, v'amad al masayim, and now the Eved's worth 200, minayin shein mechashven ela mimane, how do we know that we only, again, in terms of redemption of this slave, how do we know that we only focus on the 100? Shneemar, mikesef miknaso, we take the pasuk that it says, from the kesef of his purchase, from the money of his purchase, meaning we look at the purchase price, which is lower, of 100. Nimkar b'masayim, v'hichsif amad al mane, let's say it was sold for 200 now, he got old, whatever it is, and he's not such a good Eved anymore, and now he's worth one mana. Minayin shein mechashven ela mimane. How do we know that, again, we choose the lower price of only 100? Shene'emar kefi shanav. It follows the number of years remaining, meaning what he's worth now for the coming years. So again, in both cases, we're going to take the lower estimate based on a particular drasha that we have within the inyan, which could just have easily been flipped. Okay? The Ainli Ella Eved Ivri, Hanim Karlov Gokhavim Shinigal Vyado El Halyona. Says the Gemara, at this point, right, we're talking about only one that's sold to a non-Jew. And when he's sold to a non-Jew, we want to make it as easy as possible for him to leave, right? In that case. However, Nim Karli Yisrael Minayin, how do we know that this would even apply when he is sold to another Jew? Talmud Lomar, again, we have another sort of drasha, Sechir Sechir, L'Gzera Shava. We have Gzera Shava between these two Sechirs, again, and therefore we compare the Eved Ivri, that is, that the Eved Ivri being sold to a Jew, to the rules of selling to a non-Jew. Okay, and then subsequently back to our case, which is selling fields as well. Okay? So at this point, we've said, well, we can say that in the case of any Eved Ivri that's being sold, we're always going to go Lekula. So to here, by our selling fields, we're also going to go Lekula and always use the lower estimate. Fine. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, and here we record like a little bit of a sharp line, Hareni kiven azai b'shukei teveria. Basically saying, I'm a big Talmud Chacham, like Ben Azai in the Shukei Teveria. What exactly was happening in the Shukei Teveria? Whether or not that's where everybody would talk about Ben Azai, or whether that's where he would give his drashas, whatever the case is. But basically saying, you know, I'm like Ben Azai at his height of, you know, Lamdanus, at his height of Bikias, at his height of Darshanus. Amar leha hume rabban ala Abaye. So this, you know, this young rabbi goes to Abaye and he says, hey, ika lemidrashinu lekula, v'ika lemidrashinu lechumra. Mimai dilakula im alchumra. So he asks Abaye the following question. The Gemara, he says, and we're going to say, didn't really answer the question that we asked. What was our question that we asked? We asked, why are we always choosing the lower estimate? The answer is, because we learned it from Eved Ivri. And asks the Gemara, now, what about Eved Ivri? But what's the logic to that? It's true you found a parallel case, but that doesn't quite give us the answer. So this young rabbi asked Abaye this question. Right? Says Abaye, Abaye responds to him, Lo salka daitach. Mid'aka rachmana gabe. Says, obviously we're going to go lekula and we're going to make it easiest for him. Why? Because that's the name of the game, says Abaye. Let's think of any of the rules of Eved Ivri. D'tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, ki tov lo imach, imcha b'machal, imcha b'mishte. He has to be with you for eating, he has to be with you for drinking, it has to be good for him with you. Shelote ochal pas nekia v'ochal pas kibar. If you're eating, you know, white bread, he shouldn't be eating whole wheat. Obviously, that's not actually what it means. It means better bread and worse bread, but you get what I'm saying. Okay, maybe this year is sleepy today. Ata shose yayin yashan vushose yayin chadash. You know, you can't have the old, you know, aged. you know, spirits, and he gets the, you know, the new ones. Ata yashin agave mochin v'yashin agave karka. You can't sleep on a pillow and him sleep on the ground. Mochin are sort of soft cloths. Okay? Mikan amru, and therefore, from this we said, the famous line of hakona eved ivri, kikona adam la'atzmo. Someone who purchased an eved ivri, it's like they bought themselves a master. So if that's the case, says Abaye, there's no havamina that we would say when he's trying to redeem himself that we should be machmir and make him pay extra. No way! Of course we should be makel, just like we see we're makel in every other halacha of Eved Ivri that relates to him. However, this guy was not so easily dissuaded by Abaye's argument. And he says back to him, he says, no, adarabba, nachmir aleha mid Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Let's be machmir based on the words of Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. And at this point, the Gemara is going to go through this extremely, extremely, extremely long chain of events, which will culminate in, from someone doing an Avera, as we're going to see, which Avera being Mekel and Shvius and Shemitah, and doing business with produce of Shemitah, you're going to end up being sold to a non-Jew. Okay? And if that's the case, what he's trying to bring out from here is that if this is a punishment, we shouldn't make it easy for him to escape. Okay? That's going to be the general line of the Gemara, but I'm going to repeat that at the end. So therefore, the question is going to be back on Abaye. Abaye, you're saying we should always be Mekel, but if this person's ending up in this situation because they did Averos, then why should we be Mekel? We should be Machmir on him. So now let's go through that whole chain of events, then we'll recap where we're up to. Says the Gemara. Okay? What did he say? What did Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina say? Dam Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina. Bo ur'e kama kasha avka shel shvius. Come and see how tough the powder of Shvius is, the dust of Shvius. What does that mean? In general, we use avka to refer to things that people tend to look at lightly from certain averos. What's an example? Lashon hara, right? That's a classic example everybody's aware of. That's where we see this word avka. So he says, see how tough it is. Why? Adam nosev enosen v'peros Shvius. What's going to happen is someone begins trying to make money. They figure, it's Shemitah. I'm going to lose so much money. So they figure, here's what I'll do. I'll do business with peros Shvius. Lesof, what's going to turn out, mocheres metal to love, you're going to have to end up selling your possessions. Shenamar, as it says in the Pasuk, and from here we're going to go jumping from topic to topic to topic to topic to topic within the Parshios. Okay, specifically within, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, in Bahar. There we go. Sorry, I couldn't get that out there. So, let's see. What's the first comparison? How do we know that if a person works on Shemitah/Yovel and sells fruits on Shemitah Shes Yovel, that they're going to end up selling their stuff? Shenemar, Bishnas Yovel Azos Tashuvu Ishalachu Zaso. On the one hand, we're talking about Yovel, and what comes right after that? Ochsiv, Vechisim Kerum Yokar Lamisecha, O Kanomiyad Amisecha. What does it mean, Kanomiyad? Davar Nikna Miyad Liyad Metaltalin. It means there's a drush on this to say that you're going to end up having to sell your possessions. Lo here, Gish, let's say he still doesn't want to do tshuva. Lesof mocher es sedosav. He's going to end up having to sell all his fields. Shenamar, what's next? V'chiyamuch achicha umachar me'achuz aso. He has to sell off his ancestral fields. Lo bas liyado. If it still doesn't come to him, meaning he still is doing these averos. Lesof mocher es beiso. He's going to have to end up selling his own house. Never mind his fields and all his possessions. Shenamar. V'ishkim kor beis moshav yerchoma. That's the next section. As the Gemara goes off on a little tangent for a moment, we're talking about in both cases that the person is continuing to do an Avera and not doing Teshuvah. So why in one sense, why in the first time does it say lo hirgish? He didn't feel. And the second time it says lo bas liyado, it doesn't come to his hand. Why are we using these two different language, these two different phrases to describe doing an Avera here and continuing and not doing tshuva? Ked Rav Huna says, the Gemara says, like Rav Huna says, to Amar Rav Huna, kemach adam she'avar adam Avera v'shana bo hutrulo. Says Rav Huna, an amazing din. I wish this was actually true in some ways. Obviously, we don't actually wish it was true. But Rav Huna says, once you do an Avera, you know, a couple of times, it becomes permitted. You're allowed to do the Avera in the future. Everybody's freaking out, just like the Gemara. Hutralo salka daitach? Says the Gemara, what? Are you kidding me? Right? Ella imanasis lo keheter. In his mind, exactly, it turns to him like, you know, like you don't even realize you're doing an affair anymore. So in the first step, it's simply lo yargish, but the second step, it's lo basliado. He doesn't even realize that he's doing an affair. It just becomes so natural. And this is unfortunately human nature. Continues the Gemara, lo bas liyado, and now we get back on track in our weave through how we get, you know, from selling peros shvius to getting sold to an avodas kochavim. So, lo bas liyado, again, you still don't have, lesof shalava baribis. You shalove baribis, you're going to end up borrowing money with ribis. Shenemar, as it says, V'chiyamucha chicha, uksiv, altikach meitau nashach b'sarbis. Then we've got another pasuk. It says, don't take ribbis. So we see that's going to be the next step. Again, if the person still persists in their bad ways. Lo bas liyados, you know, again, still doesn't figure it out. Ad shemocher esbito. Someone's going to end up selling their daughter. Shenemar v'chim korish esbito le'ama. As we say again, another pasuk there. Now, the problem is, does anybody know where this pasuk actually is?
Mishpatim.
So what happened? We're jumping, we're in the middle of Bahar and suddenly we end up in Mishpatim? Where did the Brisa get this from?
Why is it connected?
So says the Gemara, V'alfa gav debito b'hai inyan alasa, even though selling one's daughter has nothing to do with the Parsha Bahar, nevertheless, nicha le'inish delizdavin bratev lo lezif b'rabisa. This person has sunk to such a level that he'd rather sell his daughter than take a loan out with ribis. Why is that, by the way, says the Gemara? Because it's a financial decision. De'ilu hasam migara ve'azla. Depends on the investment. It's not a good investment to borrow money with interest. You lose money, says the Gemara. V'ilu hacha, but selling your daughter, kamosfa ve'azla. There, your investment actually gets better over time. Okay, whether she grows up, but in general, you know, you're going to be losing money from borrowing, and if I say lending, then, you know, that's ever a mistake, but again, we're talking about borrowing money with ribis, that's a bad business decision, where selling one's daughter, you know, you stand to gain from it in a few ways. Again, whether she improves in price over time also is another story, but at the end of the day, acha kamosfa v'azla. So we continue our chain of events.
You're also not paying for her bazones.
Yeah, again, it's a good investment. It's a good investment. Lo bas liado. Still. Leso shemocher es atzmo. He's going to end up selling himself. We get back to Bahar now again. Ki amucha chi chaymach v'nim karlach. When you're literally sold to him. Then we continue. Lo lecha ela lager. Shenemar lager. And as we continue, see it even not only is he sold to a fellow Jew, he can even be sold to a ger. V'lo lager tzedek ela lager toshav. Shenemar lager toshav mishpach. Right? As it says, you can be sold to even to a ger toshav. It says mishpachas ger zeha oved kochavim. Okay, then Mishpachas Ger in the Pasuk, which again is also there in Bahar, is referring to when you're sold to an idol worshipper. And guess what? Kishu Omer Ole Eker Mishpachas Ger. And when it says Ole Eker Mishpachas Ger, Zeh Nimkar Nasim Mishrais Lavodas Kachavim Atzma. There's a point where you can even be sold to help. You know, obviously we're not talking about pure Avodah Zarah. You can't do that. You can't worship Avodah Zarah, but to help out with things relating to an Avodah Zarah for the Avodah Zarah itself, that's how low things will get. Okay? So if so, getting back to our original question, this young fiery rabbi comes up to Abaye and says, really, Abaye, you want to be Mekel? This person's a Russia. This person's an Avarian. They're being sold because they keep on doing Averos. So why would we be Mekel on them? Good question, no?
Assuming that's the case.
Correct, but this is what he's trying to get at here. He's saying, you know, when a person gets sold, it's not because they're such a great person and because we really want them. You know, there are other reasons why people can be sold also that, again, are not the greatest reasons due to their conduct. So says the Gemara, Amar leha hadre kra, vitana devei Rabbi Yishmael, ho'il v'halach umachar atzma levaros kochavim, idcha even achar hanofel. He says, at the end of the day, that's not the attitude that we should look at it with, says the Gemara. Abaye said back to him, he's saying, no. The Torah tells us, the Torah wants us to have Rachmanis on him, even if it's true that he was sold for as Averos. As Tanna Dvar Yishmael says, you know, just because, you know, someone fell on the ground, should you kick him while you're down? Or in his words, should we push a stone on top of someone who's already fallen? No, we want to help him up. It's true, he got to this position because of bad things that he did. But at the end of the day, we want to help him out. And how will we help him out? By doing what? Correct. Making it easier for this person to be redeemed using the lower price by going Likula.
You know, this saying is obviously the reversing what we the understanding of what stoning is.
Yeah. I mean, there the person's dead. But yes, I was thinking exactly that imagery.
When you stone, you throw him off the height.
Yes, and if he doesn't die, then we stone him.
Stones on top of him.
Right, but don't heap it on, as they say, right? If he's already dead, I guess that seems to be what Tanna Dvar Yishmael are saying here. And then Talmud Lomar Gula Salam Tielo by Yovel Yedzei, and this is what the pasuk tells us when it says, you know, we're going to allow him to be redeemed in this fashion. Says the Gemara, fine. The guy responds to Abaye. Okay, he says, Ema Gula Tielo de lo litma be'ovde kochavim. Ulaolam lenin pidyon onachma. He says, but one second, maybe we're only going to be mekel on him here because we're worried that when a person gets sold to an avodas kochavim or an oved kochavim, we're worried that maybe permanent he's going to get caught up in them, he's going to get mixed in to the non-Jews, and we're going to lose the Jewish soul forever. But maybe, you know, if he's just by a Jew, we should be machmir. Okay, and if he's, you know, if he's just talking about redeeming himself from another Jew. Says the Gemara, fine, we'll look elsewhere. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, k'siv im od rabos pashanim. Rav Nachman Yitzchak brings two psukim, okay? We have one, not two psukim, two parts of pasuk. Two pasuk, actually two pasuk in here. Sorry. Imod rabos bashanim v'yani yoshiv gulosam ikatzim gulosam v'me'at nishar bashanim ashenasam yoyel chishav lok fishanam v'shiv is gulosam. So says the pasukim in regards to Eved Ivri, if there are big years left, and it also says because if imme'at nishar bashanim, if there are small years left, asks Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'chi yeshanim rubos v'yeshanim uatos. Are there big years and small years? What is this, like leap years? What's going on? Ella says the Gemara, no. Says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Ella nisra bekasvo mikasef miknaso. If his price went up from when he was originally sold, then we learn it out from mikasef miknaso. We use the drasha of mikasef miknaso. That's what it means. Im od rabos bashanim. The end of that pasuk is mikasef miknaso. We use the amount that he was originally sold for. And im od rabos bashanim means if his value increases over years, we use kesef miknaso, the original price. However, nismayit kaspo, if his price went down, vime'at nishar bashanim, if now these years are worth less, then as the continuation of that pasuk goes, kefishanav yashiv eskiula, so then it goes dependent on the years that are remaining, meaning how much he's worth right now for the future. Says the Gemara, why do you come in with such drushas, taking the pasuk like this, like that? Says, says the Gemara, why don't we just say that it's simply referring to, right, a case is he's going to be sold for 6 years, right? He's going to have a reshesh anim yavod. Says, why don't we say that when the Torah says, imod rabos bashanim, it means if there are 4 years left and, you know, there are 4 years left and 2 years have elapsed, then we're going to follow Mikasef Miknaso, right? Sorry, I lost the spot for a moment, right? Then we're going to do it Mikasef Miknaso. Mikasef Miknaso. However, and we'll say in the opposite case, right? Which is, I can't find the spot here. Here we are. And in a case where he's already worked 4 years and there's only two left, that we'd refer to as then we should again follow the number of years remaining. We should follow kafishanav in that case. So why don't we darshan into the simple way to say means when there's 4 years left and means when there's 2 years left? Why can't we simply say it like that? Says the Gemara, if there's more years left. Why does it say Imod Rabos Bashanim within the years? My Bashanim Nisra Bekaspo. Bashanim, if his price went up over years, Mikasa Vignaso, we learn out that we follow the original price. However, Nismatu Kaspo Bashanim, if his cost went down over years, Kafishanav, then we follow the Psukkim of Kafishanav. Amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said, Darshinhu Rav Nachman Hani Krai Kasinai. Rav Nachman darshined this up like they were at Har Sinai, a beautiful drasha, that he explained the Pesukim in this way, and that is a drasha which is pretty mukhrach. Meaning, once we get to this point where we say, Imod Rabos Bashanim means if his price goes up, and Imad Nishar Bashanim means if his price goes down, then we don't really need to worry so much about the Chumran Kula, and we have a direct limud from the Pesukim. It's not like you can interpret it in the opposite way here. There would be no way to read the Pesukim in that fashion. So this would be a source as to why, by Eved Ivri, we say that we're going to be Mekel, and so too from our Gzera Shava, we're going to be Mekel when it comes to selling fields. Okay, and that's sort of the final conclusion. Any questions before we move on? Going once? Going twice? Okay. Says the Gemara. Lo yimkar barachok, right? The Mishnah gave a whole list of rules of what you can and cannot do, that it can't be sold at, again, you can't sell a faraway field in order to buy back a closer field. You can't sell a bad field to buy a good field. You can't borrow money in order to do it. You can't do it halfway. Miani Mili, where do we learn this? Tanu Rabbanan, as we learned, v'hisiga yado umatza kedei gulaso. There's a pasuk which says, and his hand reached it, meaning now he found the money. So the pasuk said, as we mentioned, v'hisiga yado umatza kedei gulaso. So, hisiga yado is when he finds money right now. His hand reached means he got the money. And that's when he should be redeeming it. What does it mean? Yad atzmo. It has to be his own hand. Not shelo yilaveh v'yigol. That he shouldn't take out a loan in order to redeem it. Right? Because we're talking about it needs to be his own money that he has. Not that he suddenly borrowed money from someone else. Umatza, which is the next word in the pasuk, prat limatsui. This excludes money that he already had, you know, in another field somewhere, meaning shelo yimkor barachok v'yigol bekarov. That he shouldn't sell a faraway field in order to redeem a closer field. Barai, he shouldn't sell a bad field v'yigol beyafa, and he should redeem a good field, meaning you can't do that either. Kedei geula, so, and finally the last part of the pasuk, kedei geulahu goel v'eno goel lachatzayin. You have to do it in the amount that is a full redemption, not a partial redemption. So from these halachos, we learn out all of these rules in terms of buying back fields. Lememra says the Gemara, one second, we've got a problem. Dematza hashta mashma. Are you telling me that the word matzah, right, because we learned the word umatzah, says it can't have been already in his possession, meaning it can't have already been that he owned a bad field and now he's selling it to get a good field. That implies that matzah means now. But is that really the case? For a minute, we have a stira. Umatzah prat limamtzi atzmo. This excludes in the case of someone who is an accidental murderer, right? We say, v'nashala barzel min eitz, right? In that pasuk, it says, "Umatza esreihu." It found his friend, and it's talking about, again, an accidental murderer where whatever it is, something flies off and accidentally hits this person. That excludes someone who makes themselves found, meaning that was there before. Mikanam Rabbi Eliezer, as Rabbi Eliezer says, "Imishi yatsa even mitachas yado hotzi Allah es rosh of a kibla." If from when the stone left this person's hand, he was throwing a stone, and that's when this person sort of stuck out his head, and that's when it hit him, he's putter. This ruling of an accidental murder will not apply there. You won't be dealing with cases of, you're only dealing with cases of Ari Miklat. So we see, right? Alma matzah midi de'ise me'ikara. We see that in that case, matzah is something that was already there. That's not considered to be a case of accidental murder in that case. Yet here we're saying it has to be something new. So is matzah something that was already there that you just didn't know about until now? Or is matzah something entirely new?
So if I'm chopping, basically, and the guy walks into the line of where I'm chopping.
Yes.
At that point, I don't go to the Urim Miklat.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So says the Gemara, right? Meaning at the time that he already lifted his axe, the person was already there. Okay. So that's why we see that matzah there means that it was already pre-existing. Right. So how can we darshan in our case matzah to say it must be brand new? And in that case, we say it means pre-existing. How could that possibly work together? That's a stira. Says the Gemara, no. Right? Right? Immediately also make karma mashma. We see from there that it's something that was there from the beginning. Amar Rava. Rava answers as follows. Hachamenyana dekrava, hachamenyana dekra. In both cases, we follow the context of the pasuk. Hacha dumya dihisiga yado. In our pasuk, we're talking about a similar to when someone gets money. So hisiga yado means right now. It means they didn't have it before. It means now, oh, finally, I found the money. Great. So in that case, what does matzah mean? Matzah means right now. Right? Ma hisiga yado dehashta, just like the hesig yad is right now. Af matzah nami dehashta. So too, this mitia, meaning that it can't be a field that he had from before, is also talking about now. Vihacha or vihasam, wherever it is, dumya di ya'ar there. When we're talking about wood chopping in the forest, it's just like the forest. Maya ar milsa diyisei meikara, just like the forest is something that's always there, meaning you're in the same context, you're in the same circumstance the whole way through. So to af matza milsa diyisei meikara, so to matza there will mean something that was there the entire time, and each of them can be darshaned according to their context, and we can learn out, in fact, polar opposite halachos from each of the cases. In one case, it's talking about that matza teaches you that is not if it's there before, in the other case, it teaches you that it is there before. And in both those cases, because of the context of the particular psukim, we're allowed to learn those, and it's not a stira. And therefore, we learn all of these rules for selling fields from the pasuk av, v'sigo yado matzakidei gulaso, that you can't borrow, and you can't this, and you can't that, and the next. Okay, continues the Gemara. Let's finish up quickly. Uve hektish, that there's a heter for hektish, that for hektish you're allowed to do all these things, you're allowed to borrow, you're allowed to this, that, the next. Okay, minani mili, how do we know that? Tana rabbanan, vim go'ol yig'al, What does it pasuk tell us when it says vim ga'ol yigal? Like it's telling you, you know, you should do that. It teaches you that not only can you borrow money and then redeem the field, and this is from Hektish, however, you can also be go'el lachatza'in. You can also redeem it partway. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, matam. What's the reason for that? He explains. Because we see by someone who sells the steachuza, now we're talking about sales. We're not talking about hektish, okay? Don't get confused. We're talking about sales, okay? That in that case, he has a benefit. If he sold the field, what happens to that field at Yovel? It returns to whom? Him, the original owner. So he has a lot of strength here, so to say. That if it wasn't redeemed by him, it will go back to him anyways. Be Yovel on Yovel. So therefore, so we take away certain privileges that make it easier for him to get it back, you know, within that time. Why? Because he's going to get it back anyways. Aval makdish stay achuza, but when it comes to hektish, ho il shehora kocho. Since, again, in that case, when he gives it to hektish, if he doesn't redeem it before hektish comes, what happens to the field? It goes to the kohanim, or it stays there forever, depending on how we pasuk in the Mishnah before. Shemikia yovel lo nega la yotza la kohanim, that if Yovel comes and he didn't redeem it, it goes to the Kohanim. Yafek Kocho. Shelov Vigo, Vigo Alachatzan. So there we're going to give him a heter to do all this stuff. That's the logic behind this. So Tani Chada. Love Vigoel. Vigo Alachatzan. Vitanya Idach. Eno Love Vigoel. So we have two brises that say the exact opposite. One of them says, you're allowed to borrow money and redeem. You're allowed to be Go Alachatzan. The other one says, no, you're not allowed to. Right? Lokasha Arabanan Arabi Shimon. Says the Gemara. One is the Rabbanan, one is Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanan would disagree with this Rabbi Shimon. Okay, and that's the end of the Gemara here. And we know at the end of the day that when it comes to Hektish, we do follow this Mishnah to say that there's going to be certain Aterim where that you're allowed to do all these things. Go ahead.